Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Score evenings, weeknight 6 till 9.
He's a unique guy with his arm action, that short arm action. It's really tough to pick up spin and pick up the ball against a guy like that.
Swing and a miss, strike three. As you say that, Derek Hill did not pick up that one at all. He strikes out swinging, back-to-back strikeouts for Cade Horton.
Jaw stands deep in the box, right-handed batter hits out of a little bit
of a studs.
And the pitch. Line drive, smoke to right center field. Sanchez goes back. This one's over his head, bounces on the track and over the wall for an automatic double. Nice piece of hitting for Matt Shaw. One out double here in the fifth.
Welcome back in on The Score. I am Mark Grody, live from Halas Hall, where the Bears had a practice today, an OTA, and we'll talk more about the Bears in about 25 minutes from right now. But as you heard on 670 The Score with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer and Zach Zabin, the Cubs beat the Marlins today by a final score of 2-1. And joining us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline to talk more about the Chicago Cubs is Lance Brozdowski of the Marquee Network, player development analyst, and he downloaded the Circa Sports app today. Lance, thanks for jumping on The Score, man. I appreciate it. What's going on?
Hey, how are you, Mark? How you doing, man?
I am doing well. I'm hanging out here at Halas Hall. I feel like every minute that I'm here, the traffic is settling down to so that I can make a clean shot from Lake Forest to the South Loop. Do you think it'll happen at about 9 o'clock? You think I'll be good?
I think you're good. I thought you were going to have me on to talk Bears here, you know, but well, I guess we'll talk some Cubs.
Are you a Bears fan?
You know, I play a lot of fantasy football, so I feel like I'm a mercenary. But, you know, living in Chicago now for like 4 or 5 years, I feel like I have become I've grown an affinity for the team, which, yeah, you know, it's tough given the performance last couple of years. But this year feels different, which I know I think we've said each of the last 2 years, 3 years. But anyways.
Yeah, I was literally just talking about that. It's hilarious. Like, it's the beautiful part about Bears fans. It's like they regenerate. They refresh themselves. Whatever bad things, they yeah, click that refresh button. And they're, oh, Ben Johnson is here. All's good. I mean, Lance, I just had a caller. And I'm not sure if he was being serious or not. Maybe he was. Picked the Bears to go 18-0 this year. They're going to win the Super Bowl. So.
I mean, wheels up. Let's do it.
Wheels up for Cade Horton today. Cade Horton pitching 5 1/3, one run on 6 hits, 3 strikeouts, 3 walks. I didn't get to watch the game like I like to watch the games because I have been out here at Halas Hall all day today. What was Cade Horton like today? What was working for him?
Yeah, a little different than usual. I mean, he had a bunch of changeup whiffs today. He had 9 on the pitch, an 11 swing. So that is really good. This is a pitch that he developed a couple years ago. It's not necessarily one that I think many people at the time of his draft thought would become this big of a weapon for him. But he's a really unique pitcher in the sense that he cuts his fastball a lot, and the Cubs kind of have this bent for guys who cut their fastballs. So if you're watching him, you know, whether it be at Wrigley or this series that in Miami, you may have noticed, like, oh, it kind of looks like the four seam's like cutting away from a righty into a lefty, more so than if you were to watch like Ben Brown or something like that, where he has more of that natural kind of arm side where it tails back to the right. So that is like the defining feature of who he is as a pitcher. And this is also something that the Cubs love internally. They have a lot of these guys that cut their fastball. Think of like Porter Hodge and stuff. But the changeup is a pitch for him that I really liked a couple years ago. And I was really impressed with how quickly he's picked it up. And I mean, he's pretty much going like pretty heavy on a three pitch mix now with the four seam, the sweeper and the changeup. And then he's got kind of this back pocket curveball he uses to lefties, but I think that's the pitch he threw that got tagged in New York. So maybe they're pushing more towards the changeup to lefties. And then he also has a sinker in his back pocket. So we're getting a good glimpse of a very good pitcher, but I don't think, you know, to any extent he's a finished product. And the fact that he's performing this well, despite the fact that there's probably more growth, is really encouraging.
Yeah, no doubt. And I love it when we all get to see these prospects in real time, the way they develop. You mentioned the cut fastball and the changeup. The changeup seems to be part of the, I mean, everybody wants a good changeup, but we have Ben Brown starting to use some of that changeup. We heard Jameson Taillon talking about how he was able to have success with that against lefties. Matthew Boyd working that changeup as well. How important is that pitch in the Cubs' young pitchers and veteran pitchers, obviously, repertoire as well?
Yeah, I think the league is really pushing generally. I was actually on the phone with an AGM the other day, and I was asking him, like, hey, how do you, like, approach fastball usage in the minor leagues specifically? Because it varies from organization to organization. You look at a team like the Red Sox, they throw very, very few four-seam fastballs. Mariners are a similar idea. And then you jump to other orgs like the Rays and the Dodgers, they throw a lot of them. And I think for the most part, you consider all those teams pretty good at pitching development. And this AGM told me, like, he's like, listen, we're getting to the point now where what I want is like a toolbox, and I want multiple things you can strike versus each handedness, and then multiple things you can like get chase, swing, miss on. And if you think about that from like the construction of a starting pitcher, you start to push into like 5 to 6 pitch territory, which is where Cade is kind of almost at right now. He's mixing 5 pitches, but I'd argue again, the sinker and the curve are kind of lesser used. So the idea of like eventually bringing those in is really will eventually allow him to have a really solid approach, I think. You know, fastball, sweeper, sinker inside righties, and then be able to go, you know, forcing curve if he occasionally wants to throw the sweeper to lefties, but primarily rely on that changeup. That's kind of the flow. And I mean, I think we're getting really good, and the league's getting very good from like a seam effect standpoint, which is this pretty advanced concept, basically that, you know, you can orient the ball in different ways and hold the pitcher's cue and grip pretty similar, and allow the pitch to move in different directions and eventually end up with a better offering. We're getting really good as a league at like figuring out this stuff. I wouldn't say we, I would say like more of the teams are, because this data isn't really public for a lot of us on the public side here. But, you know, I've noticed this with a lot of Yankee pitchers this year, just constantly tweaking orientations, taking guys like Max Fried from another team, bringing them into your org, and then making tweaks. We've seen this again, like they made some bit of a mechanical adjustment to Cade Horton in spring. Taillon now adjusting, forcing usage up. We see Colin Ray, his arm slots drop. Teams are very good at developing pitching to the point where you're seeing so many guys throw 4 to 5 pitches, all of them be good, that the days of, you know, oh, if he just develops a changeup, he'll be a good starting pitcher are over for the most part. Now it's a matter of like, no, we're pretty confident we can give him a changeup. It's a matter of like, can he execute and can he eventually layer other things on to the point where he becomes a very good pitcher. But the concept of like, I don't know if he's ever going to add a good changeup feels like it's dead. I just feel like everyone has a good one now.
Well, what about Ben Brown then in that regard? He had a weird game on Monday where he goes 4 2/3, allowed 6 runs on 7 hits. He struck out 8, walked 0, which are always those kinds of numbers never go out of style, to quote our good friend Pat Hughes. But he allows the early solo home runs. Eventually, he retires 12 in a row, and then later in the game got himself into trouble again. What are you seeing from Ben Brown, and what do you see as his future? Like, a lot of people think, I think it was Matt Spiegel who was talking about it the other day, that he sees him even before that performance as probably a guy who may be better suited for the bullpen.
It's a tough one. Yeah, I mean, I like Ben Brown a lot in a variety of angles. I think he has plus makeup from a standpoint of being able to adapt and add things, and I am partially surprised they haven't advanced the repertoire a little bit more at this point. He's pretty much a two-pitch guy. There are very few pitchers in the league that can survive long-term with two pitches. Perhaps the Cubs see something from like how tall he is and steep his ball gets into the zone, that they think that, you know, the concept of throwing these two pitches to force him in a curve around, what is it, like 90-95% of the time at this point, is enough. But I look at him in the idea I just presented you about, like, people getting into the more diversity of mix side. You know, I've talked to some people in the Cubs internally who are like, you know, we're not entirely sure that a cutter is the best thing for him to help give him something else to zone versus lefties. They're not entirely sure whether a sinker is a good thing. You know, eventually maybe we'll get down the road and perhaps those pitches come into the fold. But right now he's a two-pitch guy. I just wonder whether something like a sinker would really help him against righties in particular to set up something inner third to eventually go outer third with like the four seam and the curve and such. So I wonder like how they want to advance his mix overall. And it goes to the changeup. Like, so he flipped to the kick changeup idea, which is like spiking your middle finger to allow the pitch to get more drop. And I like it in theory, but if you look at like how he approaches left-handed hitters, he does a really good job. Like that curveball he throws is pretty, what you'd say, platoon neutral. So it works versus right and left-handed hitters. To the point where like, I don't entirely know whether he needs the changeup. Like it's a cool wrinkle, but like he can probably shove against lefties just going four seam curve. And I just wonder, like, a guy that's so consolidated in his mix like this right now, I wonder whether you just run into more variants. Like, you just have situations like we saw the other day, and we'll see. I think he'll pitch in Great American on Sunday as a projected starter. Like, I just wonder what his evolution will become over time. Like, I wonder how quickly they'll expand the mix. And to speak to this point, like, yeah, maybe there is a point down the road where it's like, hey, you know, we're going to keep you forcing curve and we're going to put you in the pen, then you're going to tick up a mile and a half, and next thing you know, you're a leverage arm, who's, again, pretty platoon neutral because of how the curveball works. So you could kind of use him as they did in prior years, you know, the fake lefty, Mark Leiter Jr., et cetera, where you're throwing a split, you're really effective versus opposite-handed guys. I think you could do that with Ben Brown's curve. I'm a little torn up on, like, what to think of him because, like, the result stats aren't great. Like, what does he have, like a 5.5 right now, ERA? But some of the underlying data suggests that, like, he's getting a little bit unlucky with his fly balls and stuff. So, like, projections have him more as, like, a 4 ERA guy going forward, which that's a four in a rotation, you know? So I'm torn. Like, I'm trying to talk through my thought process around him with you right now rather than giving you a hard answer. But it's the reality. Yeah. Like, I feel like I turn every other day when I watch him on how much I'm thrilled to have him in the rotation versus think he's a pen option.
Well, I'm glad I asked you about him. I mean, that's some great stuff. And honestly, I think that the Cubs probably have similar feelings about Ben Brown, who obviously has been used in the bullpen. And it was up and down as a starter last year. So this is your classic work in progress. We are talking right now to Lance Brozdowski of the Marquee Network, player development analyst. I'm Mark Grody here on the Score. Cubs win today. They beat the Marlins 2-1. They take 2 out of 3 in the series. The Cubs get a day off tomorrow, and then they will be at Cincinnati on Friday. Let's talk about some of the guys with the bats. And I see Matt Shaw had another hit today. He does look more comfortable. Why do you think he is more comfortable and seems to be more authoritative at the plate since coming back from the minors?
Yeah. It seems like he's studying the leg kick here. So he basically took the 2-strike leg kick he had when he was up in April and made that his leg kick all the time. And, you know, I mean, we have Cliff Floyd in studio a ton, and I really love talking hitting with him. And he made, like, the first time him and I were watching him, even last year at AAA, we were like, oh, the leg kick. Like, Cliff literally was like, the leg kick's going to go eventually. Just, if you look at the sample of major league hitters who have that big of a leg kick, you literally don't have any. Like, I think the one that comes to mind for me is, like, Zach Neto from the Angels. Had one for a bit, but I think even he toned his down. Bo Bichette, when he came up, was similar. Bo Bichette is probably a good comp there. And I just wonder whether it just took time. Like, there's this thing in player development of, like, you wait for the guy to fail and then make the adjustment, or do you try to preemptively make the adjustment? And it seems like they were comfortable letting him come up and fail and then make the adjustment. And given how good the offense has been, I think you could almost, like, take the hit that you had not playing him, or his production early in the season, and then the offensive production of Birdie and Brujan and Nicky Lopez, all which was well below average. And now you're getting to a point where it's like, okay, if you could project him as like a league average back going forward, even if he's, you know, maybe an averageish to below average glove at third base, like that fits in the concept of this team, which to me now is hitting so well that you could almost, it's funny, the prior years, I feel like the Cub teams were so built on pitching and defense. Because of some of the injuries and just how some things have shaken out this year, like, this Cub team is built on offense. Like, the defense is probably going to grade up slightly above average. The pitching right now is also dead average, but the offense is, like, incredible. To the point where, like, you almost can take a hit defensively if Shaw ends up playing below average defense at third, to the point where, like, I just want as many good bats as possible. Like, let's put up six runs a game and force teams to outscore us rather than, like, really needing, you know, the shutdown rotation they had in each of the last couple of seasons. So it's a really – it's a different Cub team than I think we've seen in a very long time, and I think that's something that is just different from a viewership standpoint. It's a really exciting team to watch. But I also think it lends itself to, you know, the deadline. As we get to the deadline, what they do, like, it's pretty obvious that I think they're going to have to add a pen arm or two, and I imagine they have to add a starter. Like, I think if you look at the current rotation, it's – you're not, you know, Shota obviously probably your game one starter in the playoffs. Like, I know I'm jumping ahead here, obviously, but your 2-3 is like, okay, like, Boyd hasn't thrown over 80 innings in 6 years. You know, do you trust Tyon in that spot? Like, there's a lot of question marks around, like, who would be your two? And if you look at all the teams that make runs in the postseason, like, you stack up against the Phillies and some of those other teams, like, I'm terrified of Nola, Wheeler, Lizardo, you know, Christopher Sanchez. They got five guys there. They're going to have trouble picking who to start. And it's like you're at a subtle disadvantage, I think, given how good your offense is. So I know I got off the Matt Shaw answer here, but that's kind of how I look at it in totality.
No, I'm glad you brought all of that stuff up, because I think back, like, with the exciting offense, as you said, number one, we have to keep in mind, I even, you know, write this down in my notes, that we have to keep in mind, the Cubs are without, constantly remind, they are without their top two starters, and they reached 10 games over 500 today, didn't they? I mean, that's the Cubs are 30-20 right now without their top two starters. And you brought up the approach at the plate and the style of team that the Cubs have that they haven't had for a while, but this was what Jed Hoyer and even Theo Epstein for a time towards the end of Theo Epstein's run, it was so frustrating because the Cubs stopped making contact, and the formula worked, hitting the ball over the wall. Obviously the Cubs went to the NLCS three straight years, so it worked, and then it stopped working and it got excruciating. And Theo Epstein, like, during in his post, you know, season press conference, he would just talk about the approach needing to be there. And now it feels like Jed Hoyer, to maybe not exactly how he had planned it, it might be better than he had planned it, they've got that now. They've got those contact guys. They've got those hard-hit ball guys. So to some degree, I think Jed Hoyer, the organization, deserves a lot of credit for reaching a goal, which I think that they have had since the end of the World Series run with the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, their offense has done a great job. But it's funny, too. Like, I think that you have to think about, like, okay, Tucker in the lineup obviously makes a difference from a variety of angles, you know, the mental standpoint with guys, et cetera. But I also think, like, my hot take might be that even if Tucker wasn't on this team, like, a lot of these guys made, like, individual improvements that are really impressive. Like, Hap's discipline has jumped. Dansby's healthy. He's back on track. Seiya's covering the outer third better than he has in the past. Carson Kelly kind of came out of nowhere. It looks unbelievable. And Mize made some leaps offensively. Like, this team is really good outside of just having Kyle Tucker. And then you add Kyle Tucker into the mix, and you're like, yeah, you know, this is why they graded a top three offense in baseball. I believe they're top five in walk rate and bottom seven in strikeout rate. That's a beautiful combination. And they're top four in slug, too, I think. Last time I looked, fourth in slug. Like, it's everything is firing. And, you know, I think that layering Tucker on top of it will end up being a fantastic move by Jed, and it might be one that, you know, eventually saves his job. Like, if this team can make a run in the postseason, I think, you know, I don't see why you wouldn't bring Jed back as an ownership group and stuff. Like, I think he's done a fantastic job, especially if it takes Cam Smith a couple of years to even out. You know, the Dodgers guys they traded for Michael Bush still kicking around in the minors both look really good. Like, maybe these trades all look bad in 3 to 5 years. But, like, at that point, you hope the Cubs have been in the playoffs 2 to 3 times, and you hope you have a ring, and then nothing really matters. I mean, think of all the moves that the Rangers made that were somewhat poor, and then they won a ring, and I have a contact there whenever I bring up, like, Cole Reagans or something. I'm like, man, if you guys had Cole Reagans right now, you'd be so good. And he's like, fly forever. It doesn't really matter. Like, we're okay. It does not matter that we don't have our fifth frontline starter that the Royals now have. And I just think that makes sense. Like, a championship would mean an incredible amount to the city of Chicago, that it's, you know, I think that Jed's in a really good spot, and this team, it looks like it's about to rip it for the rest of the season.
I agree. He deserves credit. And, you know, I was, because the Cubs haven't been in the playoffs since 2020, I was one of those people that said, hey, man, the pressure is on. And I'm looking at a pretty good roster and a pretty good approach that he's put together. I got to go here. So if you could possibly do this in 30 seconds, I can't not ask you about PCA and where the power is coming from Pete Crow Armstrong. What have you seen in him, Lance?
Man, yeah, he is making contact with everything, especially below the zone. It's been really impressive. I don't necessarily know where this power came from. He's always had some bit of juice, but it's never been this kind of juice. It's just a matter of whether he keeps it going. He's been unbelievably exciting.
Lance, that was a perfect length for that answer right now because the producer said two questions ago, last question. So thank you so much. Great stuff. I appreciate you coming on, man. And Bears.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Yeah, absolutely. Go Bears.
That is Lance Brozdowski of the Marquee Network. He is a player development analyst and obviously very insightful. He is giving you beyond the surface level and lots of good stuff right there. When we return to Halas Hall, that's where I am right now, broadcasting this here program until the Bears kick me out. It might happen at any point in time. Who knows? No, I actually appreciate the Bears allowing us to do such things out here. I'm in the NFL Network studio right now, broadcasting live to you guys. Coming up next, we're going to get back into the Bears. Chris Emma, my colleague, was out here in Lake Forest as well. We'll get his insights on that. And I always love talking baseball with Chris Emma as well. So we will do that with him next on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
People like Chris Emma.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
What's up? I am here until 9 o'clock. I am Mark Grody, live at Halas Hall, where the Bears had a practice today, an OTA, if you'd like it put in that phraseology. I also would like to invite you to download the Odyssey app. Search for 670 The Score and tap follow to receive alerts on our coverage of Bears OTAs. And if you can't get enough, check out one of the hottest podcasts in all of Odyssey. Seriously, Take the North, the Take the North podcast with me, Mark Grody, and Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. We're breaking down all of the key storylines as the Bears continue to inch closer to minicamp. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Wiederer and I will be recording a new episode tomorrow morning at about 9 o'clock, so you can expect that episode to be up and running by mid-morning for all of our thoughts on everything going on with the Bears and the OTAs and their practices. And right now, I want to hear another guy's thoughts on everything going down with the Bears. Joining us now on the Circa Sports Hotline, the one and only Chris Emma. Download the Circa Sports app today. Emma, I just saw you, but how you doing, man? What's going on?
What's up, buddy? How you doing? I hope Hallis Hall is still treating you well up there. Have they kept the lights on for you?
They have. I deserve it, Emma, because you know, I mean, you even pointed it out. You got serious grody today, didn't you?
You were locked in, man. I admire that. For the listeners at home, you know, you and I have our little banter back and forth and stupid inside jokes and things completely irrelevant from football. And it felt like every time I hit you with one of those, you were locked in. I just got like a quick little yes, and you're looking at your roster, and you're looking, this guy's out. There's Noah Sewell out there. And you were focused today. I admire that. You were ready. It's OTAs. It's May 21, but it might as well have been first day in pads for you today, man.
Yeah, no, it was, man. I was spinning a lot of plates, got the whole thing going, and I felt bad. So now this gives us a chance to kick back and actually talk about some of the things that we wanted to talk about off the air. We could bring some of it on the air. Emma, I just want to ask you, like, right off the bat, with the Bears OTA today, what was your biggest takeaway of the day?
I mean, look, they're not in pads. It's not completely full speed. There's only so much you can really take away from it, but there's some things that jumped out. And the thing that jumped out to me today, Mark, was a couple positions in particular. And left tackle, Karan Amagaji was the guy out there working with the ones. And on the defensive side of the ball, Noah Sewell was the guy working with the ones at linebackers, that third linebacker. Yeah. And I mentioned those two guys not just individually, but the fact that those are players that were kind of written off and guys that I think were forgotten as they go into this season. We've heard from Ben Johnson from this coaching staff that every player is getting a fresh start, good or bad. You're starting new. You got to make an impression on this coaching staff. Those are two shining examples of that because we know Karan Amagaji struggled with his opportunities last year, and I think a lot of people in this town were ready to cross him off and say he's not going to be part of this thing. The Bears believe in him still. This new regime does just as much as the old one did to bring him in. Noah Sewell's a guy who I thought was going to even struggle to make the roster last year. He's getting the first crack at that linebacker spot. And you can go throughout the roster and find whether it's a starting role or whether it's a different spot, a reserve spot, a special team spot. I think a lot of assumptions that we had about this roster can be thrown out the window with this staff because they really want to get their sense of what these guys are like in their scheme, with their coaching, and you're really getting a feel for how different it's going to be. So I think there's certainly an open-mindedness, and we've heard about that from Ben Johnson. Now you're seeing it.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll talk more about Ben Johnson in a second, but I do want to stay on the offensive line because it is so interesting to see what they're going to do. Like Braxton Jones still hurt. Braxton Jones could still, it's not out of the question that he could still be your left tackle, but you mentioned Karan Amagaji getting a shot at the left tackle spot today, which left Darnell Wright in his usual position at right tackle. Understand that has not been ruled out, Darnell Wright playing left tackle. And how about Ozzie Trapillo, our guy, playing, from what I saw, Chris, and I don't know if you saw it differently, sometimes things switch up and you can't see everything that's going on because sometimes you zero in on something and you miss another thing. But Ozzie was working out, you know, with the backups at the left tackle spot. So this position continues to be interesting, fascinating, and intriguing. I don't know how you feel, but as far as this competition goes, I do find it kind of unrealistic to think that Trapillo could be the starter on day one at left tackle. What do you think?
I think he can. I think he can at either spot. I think they believe that. We know with Matt Eberflus's staff, they were willing to play young guys in key roles right out of the gates. And Braxton Jones is a perfect example of that. A guy who, fifth-round pick, and nobody really saw too much in him. He's starting week one as a rookie out there. I'm curious to know what Ben Johnson's philosophy is like with that, but clearly they believe that Ozzie Trapillo can be a starter in the NFL. And they were really drawn to his ability to play with violence while also being fundamentally sound and being that technician they kept seeing on tape. Look, you're not going to get a sense of him with the ones yet. I don't think you're going to see any of these young guys really getting a true workload until you get into training camp. But I'm willing to believe that at some point in early August or mid-August, you're going to see Ozzie Trapillo working with that first team group and really getting his chance to prove it. And this is the time to learn, to make mistakes, and they're going through it without pads. It's just you're not going to get a true sense of competition. And even Ben Johnson has downplayed the idea. We're not competing yet. We're just getting out there. So it's still very early. But for the time being with that tackle competition, like, it's not going to be the same without Braxton Jones out there. It's not going to be the same certainly until you get the pads on. But at some point, they're going to have a decision. They're going to run out of time to decide, is Darnell Wright going to be a right tackle moving forward, or are we going to move him to the left spot? Obviously, with that, there's a lot of moving parts, including Trapillo, who could shift from the left side to the right side, but we know he's capable of doing that.
Yeah, and the difference is, I think, with this year and past years, with some of the indecision at this point on the offensive line, it feels like the candidates are exciting. It's exciting to think about a second-round pick coming in and starting. It's actually exciting to think about Karan Amagaji having a full year from beginning to end, because he is a third-round pick. And if you trust the Bears, he's a third-round talent who, you know, in theory should be starting. You've still got Braxton Jones there. You've got the possibility of moving Darnell Wright from right to left. So it's more interesting than something – sorry, I just turned off my microphone, that we would normally look at with the Bears and say the candidates aren't good. I feel like the candidates are good in this case. Emma, I gotta ask you about Caleb Williams. For people who don't know, Caleb Williams did not speak today. A lot of us thought that, you know, as the week went on, that he would or maybe even should, relative to the drama that's been going on with the Seth Wickersham book that is coming out and the excerpt which was revealed and released, amongst other things, that Caleb Williams initially wanted to go to Minnesota, that his dad Carl Williams certainly did not, was telling everybody that he didn't want his son going to the Bears because that's where quarterbacks go to die, that Caleb Williams didn't learn the proper tape watching techniques, all of those bullet points. Ben Johnson brought it up today without us even prompting him, as he said, to get out in front of it. What did you think about the way Ben Johnson handled that today and the way the Bears handled it in general with not having Caleb Williams out there today?
I mean, I thought Ben handled it well. I liked his comments. I liked the fact that he got out in front of it. But it didn't really matter to me. Like, you know, obviously it's different. You've turned over a new leaf. You got a different coaching staff in place. And in large part because of how this last staff let Caleb down. And it is nice to hear. And I don't have no doubt that everything's genuine, that everybody's on Caleb's side, that there's no concern. This is not a story or a non-story in my mind. This is just context and confirmation to what we believe was true last year with Caleb. I want to hear from Caleb Williams, and I was disappointed, frankly, that he was not out there today. I wanted to hear from him. He was certainly requested by media members, including myself, and this is something where we need to hear from him. He needs to answer to this, because this wasn't some anonymous quote, somebody just speculating. It's not something you just downplay or shove aside. This was Caleb Williams and his father speaking on the record in a book. And Caleb's going to put a good face to it. He's great up there at the podium, and he's got an ability to inspire confidence, to put a smile on his own face, and in turn, everybody else's around him. I want to hear from him, though. I want to know kind of where his feelings are. Obviously, he put it all aside once he had that pre-draft meeting with the Bears and felt comfortable. But look, like, this is a real big deal. You know, this is his father going on the record on his behalf, talking about some dirty laundry, so to speak. And I want to know what he went through as a rookie. I want to know what Shane Waldron did or didn't do, because right now it's one person speaking. We've not heard from Shane Waldron. I've made efforts to try to get in touch with people who could answer to this better, on the record or off the record, and I'm hoping to at some point have some reporting that backs up one side or another and explains this better. But for now, all we know is the side of Caleb and Carl Williams, and I want to hear more from Caleb, because there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. This felt like deflecting it down the road by the Bears, and this felt like you're protecting your young quarterback, which understandably so, but he can handle himself, and frankly, he should have been out there today in my mind.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like with Caleb, he handles himself as well as was any player in that locker room, or as well as any quarterback that we've seen. Like just in terms of how he comports himself at the mic, obviously there are things that he still needs to work on the field, off the field. You know, we keep hearing, you know, the idea of learning how to be a professional quarterback. All of that is true. Did anything, and again, I get OTA, man, second OTA that the Bears have had. Full team is here. They're indoors. It's controlled. There's no pads. Any takeaways from what you saw from Caleb Williams indoors today?
I mean, it wasn't his best performance, but there's a lot of going on. There's a lot of moving parts. He's throwing the ball to different receivers. I'm checking the roster, confirming who this guy is or who I thought this was. Like, it's hard to get a sense. And also the fact that they're not in full pads. Like, there were ups and downs. There were some good throws. His best throw was today was to a undrafted rookie and Johnny Walker, I believe is the name. I got to double check my roster. I had to check my roster at the moment. Like, look, there's a lot going on at this point. It's May 21st. We're looking for football storylines because it is that time of year. But I have no doubt he's going to be in a very good spot once you get into the season. I really am bullish on what Caleb Williams is going to do in his second year. Like, I think the combination of Ben Johnson's coaching, a beat-up offensive line, and just the confidence that he has going into this year, like, it's going to make a huge difference. And to the previous point about, like, this storyline and everything that came out with this book, like, I want this all to bed. I want this all to rest. It should be done with. Like, last year is in the past. I want to find out context. I don't want to get a true understanding of what happened with Caleb because he's not at fault. Everybody else around him is at fault. And that's where him speaking is very important at this point. But I think also the other takeaway from this is you realize, man, they really, really let him down. And now you got structure around him where for a guy who's talked constantly about, I crave structure, I want to be coached, like, he's going to get that from Ben Johnson. Now, there's so many reasons to believe this is going to be a great second season for Caleb Williams and in turn for the Bears.
You know who I got excited about today, Chris? I kept hitting you over the head with Olamide Zaccheaus. Oh, my God. Look at Olamide Zaccheaus. Look at Devin Duvernay. Look at those guys running patterns out there. Those guys are fast. Those guys are going to be fun to have on the Chicago Bears. But, yeah, no, you're right, though, man. It's like we've got the rosters in front of us. Some people just got on their phones. I prefer to have the paper right in front of me, and we're all looking. Who's that guy? Who's number 13 these days with the Bears?
Johnny Walker. I confirmed in my roster. That's who it was. He was fast. He's 6'3", undrafted rookie out of A&M. He had some flash plays today.
Yeah, there's a lot of fast guys. like, I don't know who that guy is, but damn, he's fast. I can see why he's getting a look in the NFL. Emma, you are absolutely the best, man. I appreciate you coming on, and I'll probably talk to you tomorrow in some way, shape, or form.
Take care, Bears.
Yep, Bears. That was Chris Emma. You read him on 670thescore.com. Follow him on Twitter, @CEmma. He's probably got something awesome up right now. Coming up at 8 o'clock.
Does he live next to O'Hare or something? What was that? What was going on in the background?
He does live. He lives in the city. Did you hear? See, I have trouble because of the setup that I'm on. I can't hear
Okay, I remember now. He lives close to the red line. That's what
it is. He does live close to the red line. Yes.
I kept hearing something in the background. And I was like, what is going on? And then I just remembered, yeah, red line. That's right.
Yeah, he lives right by a red line. I think it's the Fullerton red line. Yeah, I've picked his sorry ass up ever before when his car was in the shop. And I'm like, oh, man, yeah, you've got the red line discount here. That's the good and the bad. He's right by a red line. But he's right by a red line. That is city living, man, and I wouldn't have it any other way. We are going to talk to Luke Kanellis coming up at 8 o'clock. Lead anchor over there at Fox 32, looking forward to talking to him. He was out here today. He looked just as serious as I did at times. He was right up in the front row taking notes. I look forward to hearing what he saw from the Chicago Bears today. When we return, I want to talk a little bit more about the Cubs and what I saw in this series and kind of the perfect evolution of a Cubs series over the last three games. It's coming up next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Valencia always works out of a stretch. The strong right-hander is ready, and he brings it. Fly ball, left center field. Well hit, but it is playable for Happ. He's got it, and the Cubs win the ball game. Cor Armstrong crisscrossing behind him. Ian Happ made the catch on the edge of the warning track or just in front of the track. And Cor Armstrong peeled off and veered out toward the wall. Fell down, but he's okay, and the Cubs are okay, winning this ball game by a score of 2-1.
And so the series comes full circle, as you heard Pat Hughes say on the score. The Cubs win. They beat the Marlins by one run. Mark Grody with you. I happen to be live at Halas Hall where the Bears had an OTA today. We'll talk to Luke Canellis of Fox 32 more about the Bears in about 10 minutes from now at 8 o'clock, top of the hour. More Bears. But man, full circle for Daniel Palencia. I felt really good for him today because I couldn't have. It's been a long time since I've felt really bad for a closer who blew a save. And Lord knows that this year and last year, we saw a lot of blown saves. The Cubs have, for the most part, overcome it this year. But full circle series, man. That first game on Monday was a wild one where the Cubs beat Miami 8-7, back and forth affair. The Matt Shaw comes back, and he was hitting the ball well. Miguel Amaya had five RBIs in the game. Ryan Presley looked great in the seventh inning with the Cubs up one run. I mean, they're starting to give him real stuff again, Ryan Presley. Like, that's a thin margin there, obviously. Drew Pomeranz, Craig Counsell's guy,
comes in the eighth, had a scoreless eighth and a one-run game. In comes Daniel Palencia in that game. The Cubs up one. He gets the first two outs. The radar is like 101. Oh, my God. Is Aroldis Chapman back at Wrigley Field? And then he ends up giving the walk-off hit, and the Cubs lose the game on Daniel Palencia's watch. And as Craig Counsell put it, he just ran out of gas, which I find to be crazy because he was throwing 101 miles per hour. But usually I'm pounding the table just like everybody else when a closer blows a game. But in Palencia's case, I was rooting for this kid, and he's pumping it at 101 because Cubs have injuries, obviously, right now, and ineffectiveness in the closer position with Porter Hodge out and Ryan Pressly working his way back, hopefully up into the position. And there's Palencia, and it's no good. Oh, my God, it goes bad in the end. It didn't matter that Tommy Hotovy came out and visited him on the mound. And so after that wild, crazy game where it's a real gut punch and it just feels bad, even though you're coming off the sweep of the White Sox, you're winning, you're playing well, that game sucked. And then yesterday, all out revenge. Here's 14-1 for you. Here's an 8-run sixth inning. Oh, that wasn't enough for you. Here's a 5-run ninth right in your face, Marlins. Like what a perfect medicine that was for the previous day. Oh, and then Kyle Tucker, his rhymes are on time. 3-for-4 with a home run in that game. Because did you see what we were all doing with Kyle Tucker? Did you see what we were doing? Is he hurt? Is he injured? Is there something? Is he tired? Does he need a day off? And I'm talking about me. I'm complicit in all of this and my thought process. Like it can't possibly be that he's just in a slump. What the hell is going on here? Have we lost? Has he reverted back to his spring training where he was bad and Gage Workman was better than him? But no, right on time, man. He's 3-for-4 with a home run, so we could kind of put that away. You know, it's like, what's going on here? We're talking about paying this guy $700 million. He's got to be good. So you had that legitimate 14-1 win. And then, along comes today, 3 runs were scored total in the game. The Cubs win it 2-1. Cade Horton was good for 5-plus innings in this game. Caleb Thielbar, Brad Keller. And then the real full circle part of it, there was Daniel Palencia, who comes in and gets the save for the Cubs in a 1-run game. So the blown save on Monday to the blowout for the Cubs yesterday. And then Daniel Palencia gets his own little revenge or his own little peace of mind that he can do this and that he can close out a game. And who knows what it's going to like, what that's going to look like. And I'm glad, hey, days off are great in baseball. I learned that from being on the tour for 3 years. There is nothing like a day off in 162 game schedule. The Cubs are off tomorrow, and then they're at Cincinnati starting on Friday. I believe the Reds are, I don't know if they play today or not, or what the deal is with the Reds today, but they are a 500 baseball team. Always like that ballpark plays well for both offenses. I'm actually looking forward to seeing this Cubs team hit in that ballpark, but sometimes it goes the other way, of course. But after the Cincinnati series, then the Cubs are home to play a Colorado team which is not interested in winning baseball games, and then the Cincinnati Reds are at Wrigley Field again. So a lot of Reds and Rockies coming up in the next several days. And guess what? As far as the Cubs are concerned, it happened today. No, not Cade Horton, not Daniel Palencia, not Matt Shaw, who had another hit today. The Cubs got to 10 games over 500. They are there for the first time. Is this the first time on? Did they ever get to? I don't think they did. Did they get to 10 games over 500 last year? I don't think they did. Even when they were going well at the beginning of the season, I think it was 7 or 8 games over 500. That's always the mark, man. That 10 games over 500, as again, Pat Hughes would say, does not go out of style. I remember when the Cubs were middling in 2015 for about half the year, and it was like, they'd be 3 or 4 games over 500, then they dip back below 500, then you get to 6 or 7 games over 500, and Joe Maddon was always like, you get to that 10 games over, man, and then you just take off. And hopefully that takeoff is about to happen for the Cubs. 30 and 20 with two series against Cincinnati with one home against Colorado in the middle. We'll see if they can do it. Coming up next, we're going to talk to the wonderful Lou Kanellis of Fox 32. We'll talk more Bears with him. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.